All right, let's take our Bibles once again and go to the book of the Revelation. And we will turn to chapter 20 once again. All right, we got down through verse 3 last week, so we'll look, start tonight in verse 4 and following, and I want to show you a couple of things tonight. I hope we'll give you a blessed heart as you learn the Word of God. There are so many wonderful things in this chapter. It's just absolutely packed with tremendous Bible learning that our teaching that once we learn, we can apply to many other passages of Scripture. And so I want you, first of all, to remember the outline that I have given you, the 5R outline, and then remember that at the beginning of chapter 20, we are in the reign period. That's the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. All right? Jesus came the first time as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to bring wrath and judgment in his hands. So that's what we kind of looked at last week. Battle of Armageddon is over in chapter 19, and the birds of the air have been called to devour and clean up the mess that is in the valley. And then the beast was taken, the Antichrist, and then the false prophet was taken in verse 19 and 20, and they were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So you remember from last week that right now the lake of fire is empty. There is nobody in the lake of fire right now. In the realm of the dead that the Bible in the Old Testament calls Hades, in the realm of the dead, there are different sections or compartments, areas. There is hell, all right? There's hell, and that is where folks who die without Christ go. They go right now into hell, a place of fire and brimstone. The Lord Jesus said that it was a place of fire and brimstone. All right, so there's hell. Then there is a place that Luke refers to as paradise, and Abraham's bosom, and that place is where all of the Old Testament saints went when they died. And then the Lord Jesus, when he resurrected, went down and brought them out of paradise. And they were seen walking around the city of Jerusalem. And can you imagine what that would have been like? You know, somebody is sitting there and he looks out the window and says, "I just thought I saw Uncle Willie walk by." You know, can you imagine that? But that's what happened. The Bible tells us that. And so that's paradise. That's Abraham's bosom. And you'll remember that that's where Lazarus went when he passed and went out into eternity. And so the Lord went down and emptied that. There's nobody in Abraham's bosom or paradise right now. It's empty. All right, so then there is another place that is referred to in the book of Second Peter, and it's translated hell, but the word is a different word than Gehenna, which is translated hell. That word is the word Tartarus, and that place is a place where there are demons that are confined, and they're being held for the devil to use them during the tribulation period. So they will be loosed when the tribulation begins. All right? And so what we have here at the end of the tribulation period and the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, from the ruin to the reign, what you see here is the Antichrist, the beast, and the second beast, the false prophet. They are bound and cast alive into the lake of fire that is burning with brimstone. All right, now I'll say more about the lake of fire when we get over into verse 14, all right? But then in verse 1 of chapter 20, we saw that there was an angel who came down, and he had a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he grabbed a hold of the dragon, grabbed a hold of the devil, Satan, and the wicked one, and he bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So last week we saw all of that, and now John continues the things that he is witnessing in the revelation that he is given by the Lord. So let's look, please, at verse 4. And you follow along here as I read a couple of verses here. All right, verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." All right, I'll stop reading right there. I know we won't even dare get near that much, but if we do, I'll read more. All right, but I don't think we'll get that far before we have to go take a nap. All right, so... Yeah, you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, good night, John. All right, let's go back now to what is said here in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. All right, let's go back and think about what we just read here. In verse 4, John is now seeing the beginning of this millennial reign of Christ. Now, you will remember that the Bible tells us that when we get saved and trust Christ as our Savior, that we will rule and reign with Him. All right, now that time where we rule and reign with Him is going to be during the millennial reign. He will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and He will govern the world. All right, you remember back in the book of Isaiah, you need not turn to it for the sake of time tonight, but let me just read you what Isaiah says here about this issue. And all the way 740 years before the Lord Jesus was even born, the Bible tells us through Isaiah that there was going to be a virgin who had a baby. And that baby was going to be one day be the king, be the ruler of the world. All right. So in chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That means God with us. All right. Now, interesting thing is we know that virgin women don't have babies. We know that, right? All right. Nobody here but us girls. Come on. You with me? So virgin women don't have babies. Come on. All right. So I'm sure that when Isaiah penned this, he probably rubbed his eyes and said, what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son? What? All right, but he left it alone, and it's a good thing he did, because that's the way God wanted it. All right, in chapter 9, it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." All right, so that's the virgin birth of our Savior. All right, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." All right, so the child that was born was given as a sacrifice for our sin. What's John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave His only begotten Son. So there's the cross. You have the birth, the virgin birth in verse 6, first part. And then the second part, you have the crucifixion. And then you go right from there to the beginning of the millennium. And the Bible says, "And the government shall be upon His shoulder." Now, that His can be nobody else but this child that was virgin born and who was given for our sins. It cannot be anyone else, all right? And so the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So folks, God's going to do this. It is his written word that he has to honor. Amen. And the zeal of the Lord, he's zealous for his word. And when he says something, he means it. And when he says here that the Lord is going to rule on the throne of David, that is exactly what he means. All right, so there is David on the throne, and we are going to rule and reign with him. All right, now there's one other little thing that John saw that he added to make sure that we understood something very important about the resurrection. And that thing he added was this: and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right, now, let me take you back to the first R in our outline. Where's the first R begin in the book of the Revelation? Chapter 4, exactly right. John said, and I heard a voice as of a trumpet that said, come up here. All right, now that is where we get our resurrection. That's when we, the church, are resurrected from the grave. Now there will be a generation that will not have to die. I hope I'm in that generation, don't you? Yeah, I don't want them putting me in no hole in the ground. No, sir. I mean, you talk about getting sick. Now, you could get your death pneumonia down there in that hole. I don't want to do that. All right? So, I don't want that. I want to go with the big crowd up. But that's the resurrection. Now, when we go, who precedes us? The dead in Christ. So all the church gets its resurrection back at the first R, the rapture. Okay? And now you have the ruin. And you'll remember that during the tribulation, during the ruin period, there will be multitudes of people who get saved. There is the 144,000 witnesses, and those aren't Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. They're not. All right? Next time a Jehovah's Witness approaches you and wants to talk to you, you just say, whoa, 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 let me ask you a question. What tribe are you from? What? What tribe are you from? Because the book of the Revelation says very clearly that 12,000 will be chosen from each tribe. So which tribe do you belong to? Now, if he's honest, he's going to turn around and walk away. But they're not honest, and they've been trained how to talk to you. But you'll scare him to death or her to death if you ask them that. What tribe are you from? Because these 144,000 are Jewish evangelists who will be called of God and sealed in protection. All right? So, they're going to go preach. Then you have the two witnesses, and they're going to be seen, The Bible says, by the world. Now, when John wrote this, I'm sure when he wrote that they would be seen by the world, he probably stopped a minute and thought, well, now how's that going to be possible? But with today's technology, the whole world can tune in live and see everything that's happening. And I'm sure that the Confusion News Network at CNN is going to have the cameras right on them. I'll guarantee you. All right, so they're going to be preaching the gospel. And so there will be a multitude. As a matter of fact, John said that there was a multitude that was so great that you couldn't even number how many there was. And these folks are going to be martyred during the tribulation period by the Antichrist. And that, if you look at verse 4, it says, and I saw the, what? Souls. Now, folks, when we physically pass, what goes to heaven? Our soul. What happens to the body? It stays here and goes back to the dust from which it came. All right? So, these people's souls are under the altar in heaven. So they are saved people. And notice that that John said that they were beheaded. Huh. Who beheads? All right, this Antichrist is going to be doing the beheading. Yeah, we know who beheads, don't we? He said, and they will, these will have their resurrection, and they, just like us, will reign with Christ for the 1,000 years, for the length of the millennium. Isn't that awesome? We get to rule and reign with the Lord. I can see now the Lord on the throne in Jerusalem, and we requisition him in Jerusalem for what we need, and then he provides it for us. I'm going to ask for new stoplights. I'm serious. I'm going to fix this out here. You watch and see. It was last Wednesday night. Left here, had to stop it, every one of them. All right, 8:30 at night. And you got to stop at every one of them. I'm going to fix that. Amen. Yes, sir. You're welcome, John. All right, so the devil's going to be bound for the 1,000 years. Jesus is going to be on the throne. And then these who have, whose souls were under the altar, those that were martyred during the ruin period, they are going to receive their resurrection and glorified bodies. And they too will reign with Christ 1,000 years. All right, but he said the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now notice the little addendum here. He says at the end of the verse, this is the first resurrection. Now, the tense of the verb there has makes the point that this is the completion. This is the finish. It's done. The first resurrection is now over. All right? That's the first resurrection. And it is completed. And you'll notice he said, blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. So whether you went up at the rapture and got your resurrection as the church, or whether you resurrect at the end of the tribulation, the beginning of the millennium, and get your resurrection there and your glorified body, and then you live in, and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, whether you get it there, whether you get it here, or there's only one that got it first. Who resurrected first? The Lord Jesus, exactly right. And we know he's blessed and holy. All right, no doubt about that. All right, so if you'll remember that I have taught you that the resurrection is portrayed in the New Testament as a harvest. And the harvest has three aspects to it. In the Old Testament, there are three highlighted aspects of the harvest. And the Jews were given specific laws regarding the harvest. And there were three aspects of it. First of all, there's what was called the first fruits. The first fruits. Now that is, of course, the Lord Jesus. Take your Bible, please. Hang on to Revelation 20. But take your Bible and go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll show you the first resurrection in your Bible. All right, so write this down so you'll remember it. All right, verse 23. Verse 23. Well, let's go back and get a couple before it. It says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the what? First fruits of them that slept. The Greek word there is cemeteros. Ring a bell to anybody? Cemetery. Yeah, you died, in other words. All right, so Christ is the first fruits. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. All right, now watch. The second coming is in two phases or two aspects. The first is the rapture. Okay, the Lord does not come back and touch the earth, but he comes in the clouds. You remember in Acts 1, two men came and said to the disciples, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. Now, how did he go? Well, the Bible says that a cloud received him out of their sight. And so when he comes at the rapture, he's going to step out of heaven onto the clouds, and he's going to call the dead in Christ out, and then those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air. So that is how we go. And then there's the second aspect of his return, and that's the literal second coming, where he comes out of heaven and touches the earth and sits down on the throne of David. All right, so we got ours, We got our resurrection over here to rapture. And then all these tribulation saints, by the way, a number which no man can number. Don't forget that. They get theirs in the return, at the second coming, at the return, the fourth R. All right? Everybody got that? All right, so let's get the next one. The next one is, of course, the main harvest. You got the first fruits, and then you've got the main harvest. And that main harvest is the rapture of the church. And that is described for us in 1 Thessalonians 4, but it is also described for us in Revelation 4. All right, and so in Revelation 4, I quoted it a minute ago, but let me read it for you. He said in chapter 4, verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, folks, don't forget, Jesus said, I am the door. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go through him. There's no other way to get there. But John said, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So that's the main harvest. That's the rapture. All right, now go over to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. All right, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Chapter 4, and here is the rapture. Let's look, please, at verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, that's our resurrection. That's the main harvest. All right? And then the last part of a harvest is the gleanings. Now, you'll remember in the law, God told the people that they were to leave crops in the corners of their fields. And that was there so that the widows and the poor people and the widowers and those that could not make a living were crippled or whatever the case may be, and they would go and glean. You'll remember that that is where Boaz spotted Ruth. Remember that? And went back and was wondering, who in the world is that? What's her name? Where'd she come from? All right, next thing you know, they're married. And then the next thing you know, David comes along from Ruth and Boaz. All right, so that's the gleanings. And the gleanings are found here in verse 4. The tribulation saints, the souls that they get saved during the tribulation period. And then in verse 5, it says, this is the completion of the first resurrection. So folks, notice that all the saints will rule and reign with Christ in the millennium. In verse 4, we see at the end of the verse, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then look, please, at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. And then at the end it says, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So whether you got your resurrection at the rapture or whether you got your resurrection at the return, you still got a resurrection, and you get to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus during the millennium. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yep. Folks, let me say it this way. For Bible eschatology to work, you have to let the Bible interpret eschatology for you. Amen. You cannot just go buy a book in the bookstore. There are as many different opinions about the interpretation of the book of the Revelation. There are more opinions than there are people in America. I mean, it's unreal. There are people that say that they are premillennial. Well, that's what we are. And by that, we mean the Lord is coming back before the millennium. Okay? Then there are people who are mid-trib. They say that God just cannot let us go without punishment. We've got to be punished for our wickedness. Well, what do you do with Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What are you going to do with that verse? But you see, they just can't stand it that men are not that the church is not judged. Well, I'm thankful. Amen. All right, he took my judgment already on Calvary's cross. And thank the Lord for that. All right? So they're mid-tribs. You might remember several years ago that that outfit up in Philadelphia, what was that thing called? You know what I'm talking about? That Jewish bunch out there did that magazine and all that stuff. Oh, man, I can't remember what it was called. Some of y'all know. You still get their magazines. I still get them here. No. It's Friends of Israel. Who said that? Thank you, Jack. All right, you might remember several years back now. It's been 20, 25 years ago. But there were two guys running that Friends of Israel thing. They partnered together and started that. And man, it became, I mean, it was huge. It was huge. And one of the guys had a falling out with the other. And he wrote a book called The Sign. And he advocated for a mid-trib rapture. All right? Mid-trib rapture. And you can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I'm sorry. But people swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. You know, they got that book and studied it instead of studying this one. And if you study this one, you would see there's no such thing as a mid-trib rapture. Okay? Then there are these post-trib second coming people. All right? Post-trib. In other words, after the tribulation period, Jesus comes back and we all get our resurrection. So we all have to go through the wrath of the tribulation period, all of us. Well, that just absolutely violates so many passages of Scripture. All right, and then There's a bunch, they call them the amillennialist. Ah means no. Okay? And what they say is, it ain't going to be no millennium. All right? Basically, that's what they say. They're not going to be a yes, there is. It's clear. But you see, people try to take somebody's book or somebody's tapes and make their own eschatology. And folks, you can't do that. Bible eschatology only works when you take it out of the Bible. It's that easy. Okay? So, the saints will rule and reign, but the unsaved will stay in hell for the 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, then they're going to come up for the great white throne judgment, which we'll look at in due time. All right? That's in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. All right? So they're going to be brought out of hell and they're going to stand before the Lord. And then they're going to be judged by the Lord because they rejected Christ. No other reason. No other reason. I mean, you're not going to have to spend eternity in hell for any other reason other than rejecting Christ as your Savior. And so they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that lake of fire is the final death. All right? It's the final death. If you look at verse 12, you will see, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open." That's this book. All right? All 66 of these books. That's why it says books, plural. "And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." All right, so what did Jesus say? Well, let's see. He said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye," what? "Must." "Ye must be born again." All right, now that's not a suggestion, folks. That's a commandment. You must be born again. So if you don't get born again, you're going to have to stand before God at the great white throne judgment and hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And boy, you can hear him, can't you? "But Lord, I preached in your name." Yeah, but you didn't believe me. You didn't believe my book. You went off and you followed somebody else's book. You didn't trust me. "But Lord, we had a healing service." Well, folks, I don't know what to tell you on that other than you must be born again. I mean, you just must. So, read on. It says that they were judged according to their works. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell." All right, so there's the hell part of it. There's the death part of it. "Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." In other words, what did you do with Jesus? "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now, folks, listen. What's the first death? That's physical death, yes. "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment." So there is the first death is spiritual or physical death, and the second is spiritual death. And that's that. It's all settled at the end of the 1,000 years. All right. Well, next week we'll start with the devil's rebellion that we read about in verse 7 and following, and that will bring us right to the great white throne judgment and the devil's final mention. All right. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray that you will bless this to our hearts, and I pray that you will give us understanding of what we have heard this evening. Help us to know what your word says is coming. Help us to know what the Bible says about the return of our Savior to this world. And Father, so much of the Bible, so much of it has to do with the second coming. And so I pray that you will help us to understand what the Bible says. In the weeks ahead, we will go back and look at Old Testament passages and prophecies and get a little bit more about the nature of the millennium and what is going to happen during that time. And so, Father, help us to know and to believe and have faith in your word. And we'll thank you for it all. In Christ's name, amen.